Again, my name is Marlee Trandall. I am a PhD candidate from North Carolina State University, and I'm here to talk with you a little bit about understanding hollow heart formation in Liberty watermelon. So first and foremost, I want to open this by talking about hollow heart formation. We generally see it develop in the heart tissue of our seedless watermelon types. We do see it in our seeded types, but it is primarily in our seedless, and it is known as an internal crack or void that causes separation of three internal fruit compartments involving the locule, the ovule, and the septum, which all kind of pull apart from one another, causing a hollowing in the fruit. So hollow heart has been quite an anomaly for researchers worldwide, as we have not been able to specifically pinpoint what causes this disorder. Now, researchers have suggested that cultivar selection, tissue firmness, pollination, and environmental factors all play important roles. So a lot of my research has been recently focusing on tissue firmness and pollination. So when I talk with you about tissue firmness, we tend to relate that to tissue density, and that's because researchers have also seen a tendency for fruit with lower tissue firmness or lower tissue density to have that higher incidence of hollow heart. So we're going to kind of be looking at that throughout this talk. I wanted to kind of talk about the relevance of hollow heart to our industry. So hollow heart does indeed cause economic losses in our seedless watermelon production. So in the United States, 95% of watermelon is seedless, so it is definitely hitting our seedless industry. Now, the United States Department of Agriculture assesses these shipping standards and regulations. And what these regulations state is that between 5 to 12% of a load is found with a defect, then that load is going to be rejected. So we're losing between $8,000 to $10,000 per load, and it is certainly in the millions for the industry each and every year. So definitely economically hitting us. That kind of pulls me into the objectives of my research. We wanted to induce hollow heart by limiting the amount of viable pollen in our field by decreasing our seeded watermelon. So really quickly, triploid or seedless watermelon do not produce sufficient viable pollen and need seeded or diploid counterparts in the field for pollen viability. So after inducing the disorder, we wanted to determine a hollow heart effect on our fruit quality. And we did that by looking at compositional and fruit quality differences in our fruit with and without the disorder. We then wanted to do some confocal microscopy to better determine the size of our cells and assess the number of cells in our heart tissue. With this, we wanted to relate if tissue firmness is related to tissue density and assess if tissue firmness or tissue density decreases in fruit with the incidence of hollow heart. So this pushes me a little bit into my experimental design. This design was created to induce the disorder. It was located at the Central Crops Research Station in Clayton, North Carolina in 2017. Here we see we have four rows, and I did three successive tiers down the rows, and what I did with those tiers is increase the pollinizer spacing in that tier. So the overall average of our pollinizers was 13% of our field. In tier one, we planted the pollinizers at 6 meters apart in row, in tier two at 9, and in tier three at 12 meters apart respectively, so limiting that pollen. Now, we wanted to use a watermelon cultivar that was susceptible to the disorder, so Liberty is an older cultivar, and it is indeed susceptible to hollow heart. And then we planted all of our triploids at 1 meter or 3 feet apart in row, followed a conventional fertilizer and pesticide program, began harvest 64 and finished 78 days after transplant. We had five total fruit harvests with 138 fruit, and 41 of those were found with the disorder. For our lab methods, we longitudinally cut our fruit from the stem to the blossom end and rated for the incidence and severity of hollow heart. Now, we followed USDA grading standards. So for hollow heart severity of 1, that would be none or a very minor slit in the center of your fruit. 5 is a very severe. You can stick your entire fist in the center of that fruit. And yes, I did have hollow heart to that severity. It was pretty neat to look at. With this, we wanted to exclude our culls over and under ripe fruit. We looked at fruit weight, soluble solids, heart firmness, pH. We then did a Hunter UltraScan colorimeter for lycopene and HPLC analysis for arginine, citrulline, total sugars, sucrose, glucose, and fructose. And of course, SAS 9.4 for our statistical analysis. So this pushes me into some of our results. Here we're going to start with our pollinizer spacing effects, but I wanted to bring to your attention that the total percentage of hollow heart in our study was 43%, so we did indeed induce the disorder, and we had material to work with. So here we are looking at those three successive tiers, the 6, 9, and 12 meters. Now we do see the highest amount of hollow heart coming from that 9-meter tier. And I did want to direct your attention to the fact that in that tier we did harvest the largest sample size, and so that could be potentially why we had the highest level of hollow heart. So again, in Tier 1, we had 20% pollinizer, Tier 2, 11% pollinizer, Tier 3, 8% pollinizer. But, you know, looking at this analysis, we unfortunately did not gain any extra hollow heart by increasing that pollinizer spacing down the field. Here we are looking at a figure of our fruit weight. So we see the incidence on the x-axis and fruit weight on the y, and we did see some differences in fruit with no hollow heart. We're heavier than fruit with hollow heart. And tissue firmness, again, x-axis is incidence, and tissue firmness is on that y. And this was really neat to look at because we saw that with fruit with no hollow heart, we did have higher tissue firmness. So we did see lower tissue firmness in fruit with hollow heart, which is something that we were looking for in this study. For our soluble solids, again, incidence is on x, and then your degree bricks is on the y-axis. And we did see that fruit with no hollow heart did have a higher degree bricks. This is not something that we were expecting to see, as I have had many of people talk to me about hollow-hearted fruit generally tasting sweeter to the perception. I've talked with many people about this, and we think it might have something to do with that sensory perception, potential loss of water in hollow-hearted fruit, giving that higher degree bricks to the taste in our mouth. For our pH, we did see significance in fruit with no hollow heart. We're only one unit higher in pH than fruit with hollow heart. So a little bit more on my results. We did quite a bit of quality measurements to look at the volume. We did not see any significant differences between the incidence of hollow heart. For our phytonutrients, again, lycopene, arginine, and citrulline, we did not see any significant differences in fruit with hollow heart. And for our sugars, no significant differences. So this is something that's really good to look at because a lot of people believe that hollow-hearted fruit are unmarketable, but we're looking at this and what we see, we're not losing any quality, it's just really the looks of that fruit. So it might be smart to start pushing some of our hollow-hearted fruit into that cut fruit section. So moving into part of my discussion, so those triploid watermelon require between 25 to 33% of the field to be covered in diploids for that viable pollen. We had an average of 13% in our field. We did minimize our pollinizer down the tiers. So we did not see any significant difference in our pollinizer spacing, and what this suggests is that lowering the amount of pollinizers below 25% does not induce additional hollow heart. We saw fruit weight, tissue firmness, pH, and soluble solids was highest in fruit with no hollow heart. And I did want to direct your attention to the fact that watermelon have uneven tissue expansion in the rind and the heart. So what does this mean? The rind will continue to go through cellular division expansion and filling those cells throughout the entire time of plant growth. Now, the heart tissue stops laying cells between 7 to 10 days after fruit set and only goes into cell expansion. So we think that hollow heart is related to a pollination effect, right? Cytokinin is released at the time of pollination. And cytokinin is an important plant hormone for cell division. So perhaps what we're seeing with viable pollen is fruit with that do not have hollow heart or getting enough viable pollen, releasing enough cytokinin, you know, increasing that cell number and that tissue firmness in our heart tissue. So we're kind of trying to delve a little bit deeper into this because this is just not giving us the gist of our story. And we believe that cell wall polysaccharides may better explain what is going on in our fruit with and without hollow heart. So we looked at confocal microscopy, and again, we took subsamples of my Liberty watermelon, steeped them in calcifluor white dye. We used confocal microscopy with Z-Stack and image stitching. Did image J to count the number and average size of our cells. And our hypothesis with this is that fruit with larger cells are going to undergo increases in irregular fruit growth, lowering tissue density, causing a higher incidence of hollow heart. So into some of our confocal results, here we see two confocal micrographs, Liberty with no hollow heart and Liberty with moderate hollow heart. And we did not see any significant differences in the number of cells, but we did see differences in the size of cells. So again, we were able to relate tissue firmness to tissue density, and that fruit with hollow heart indeed had larger cells. Now, it might be difficult for you to see, you know, this, you guys are a little bit away from the slide, but I want to direct your attention to these three areas, as what we're seeing in this confocal micrograph with hollow heart is some cell wall breakage occurring, causing minor hollowing in the fruit. And that kind of makes us believe that this may be also a cell wall polysaccharide aspect that is going on with our fruit quality. So delving Hopping into some of this discussion, similar to what Kano found, we did see that fruit with hollow heart had larger cells. Fruit with no hollow heart had higher tissue firmness and smaller cells. So we weren't able to relate tissue firmness to tissue density. So we have this inkling of an idea that density changes might be driven by cell expansion first. So we see an increase in cell area before we see that cell number changes significantly. Again, we saw that cell wall breakage was occurring in our larger cells in our fruit with hollow heart. And cell wall composition changes may be driving this increased area and ultimately breakage. So we are currently focusing on cell wall composition. So here we have a picture of the fruit cell wall. We have the middle lamella, the primary cell wall, and the plasma membrane. Now I focus on the primary cell wall, which has three components. We have cellulose, hemicellulose, and pectin. I specifically focus on pectins. And that is because pectins are extremely important as they are the glue between the cellulose and the hemicellulose matrix. They are known to increase the integrity and the adherence of that cell wall. They aid in cell wall strength, plant defense, and internal flush quality. Subsequently, cell wall degradation starts at the pectin level, and that's due to specific enzymes like xylases and pectinases targeting pectin due to those glycosidic bonds. So we believe that changes in pectin amount and type from this enzymatic degradation could be leading to diminishing fruit qualities and onsetting internal fruit disorders like hollow heart. I'm going to talk briefly with you about my pectin extraction methods. So we start with fresh watermelon tissue, go through various solvent extractions to yield alcohol and soluble residues. It is extremely important to get to alcohol and soluble residues as quickly as possible, as this is the stable form of the cell wall. We go through a series of carboxyl reductions to break down the uronic acids and to yield oligosaccharides. We split the sample, and then we go to samen hydrolysis, which basically breaks down those oligosaccharides into monomeric building blocks. So we're looking at sugar monomers here. Or we go to methylation and TFA hydrolysis. Methylation is an extremely part of this protocol, as it allows me to kind of relink or puzzle piece together those monosaccharides. And what it does is it adds methyl groups to the oxygens. Then we go through a series of reduction, and what this does is it breaks open that monosaccharide from ring to open form, and it tags that anomeric carbon or carbon number one. So we've added those methyl groups to the monosaccharide. By tagging that anomeric carbon and opening that monosaccharide, we are able to see what number of carbon we are in that chain, where those methyl groups were added, and where one monosaccharide is being linked to the next to create those polysaccharides. We go to acetylation for volatility and injection of the GCMS. And I do want to state that methylation and linkage assembly have only been done in Arabidopsis. This is unknown territory for watermelon and has been very difficult to work through. Here's a chromatogram. What we did is worked with sample hydrolyzed watermelon compared to my sugar standard mix. Basically, what I want you to take from this is that my watermelon peaks are in black, and they greatly exceed that of my sugar standards. So we successfully hydrolyzed these watermelon to release the structural sugars. We have also done this with methylation. I am not reporting on that data today. Here we see my percent moles and identified monosaccharides. So I have Arabidopsis up here because I've been following a protocol that did this work on Arabidopsis. We took those methods and ran with them for watermelon. The gist of this is that we saw the highest amount of glucose and galactose, which is what we were expecting to see, and the second highest amount of xylose and arabinose in our sample watermelon tissue. So to summarize, we were able to induce hollow heart by lowering the amount of viable pollen in our field. We saw that fruit with no hollow heart indicated higher tissue firmness, soluble solids, and pH. Larger cells have also been reported in fruit with hollow heart, which is leading to lower tissue firmness. And now we are currently generating samples and working through characterization of our cell wall pectins to compare fruit with and without hollow heart, so we believe it's going to give us a better understanding of this physiological disorder. I want to thank all of you for listening to me, and I do have time for one question if anybody in the audience has any questions. Unfortunately, I just have not had the time to delve into that area. you know, I would like to continue working at Watermelon Hollow Heart. I could even make a career out of this. So those are definitely places in which I have thought about expanding the research to. I'm sorry I do not have time for any more questions as I need the next speaker up here.